Just get the thermometer out here and see who really came hungry. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I just thank you tonight. Holy Spirit, have your way. Do whatever you want to do. Lord, touch every hungry heart. And Lord, I pray not one person under the sound of my voice will leave this building the same way they came. Lord, I pray you break our hearts for the lost tonight. Break our hearts for the lost. I pray every single person tonight, Father, you come make yourself so real to them that we will see people the way that you really see people. Break our hearts for the lost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, tonight I'm going to be sharing with y'all about the power of God for a purpose. And, you know, traveling with Pastor Rodney, you know, we've been to a lot of meetings, been to a lot of different cities, been to a lot of different churches, been to a lot of different revival churches, been to a lot of different churches. But I'll say this, that, you know, we've seen a lot of moves of God, and we've seen God do a lot of things in a lot of different cities, but we've also seen one thing that's really frustrating in the church many times is when you go in and you see God move and you see God begin to do a work in a city, and then you leave and you come back and, you know, it's like, man, did we ever go there? And you wonder, what happened? Not saying that about y'all, I'm just saying. But, you know, the thing is we have to continually keep the fire going. It's our job. It's not the pastor's job. It's not, you know, anybody else's job, but we're the ones. We have to stir ourselves up and we have to keep ourselves hungry. Am I moving too fast or? Okay. So we have to stir ourselves up. We have to get ourselves hungry. People say, I'm waiting on God. Man, well, God's waiting on you. You got to stir yourself up. You got to continually stir yourself up. You will never get to a point where you arrive where you no longer have to stir yourself up. It will always be you stirring yourself up. Nobody else is ever going to be able to do it for you. And there are times, you know, we all feel like, you know, quitting or feel like, man, what am I doing here? Or how did I end up here? Or what am I, you know. But those are the times when you got to dig your heels in and really make that decision to stir yourself up. And many times you see where, you know, it seems like, you know, churches have just decided, well, you know, we've done everything. We don't know what to do. And, you know, I want to make a comparison tonight between really the early church and the modern church. And, you know, we see the early church, man, I mean, radical, on fire, Pentecost, Holy Ghost and fire. I mean, the day of Pentecost, power of God falls, you know. And then they begin to go all throughout the land from city to city, seeing whole areas shaken by the power of God. There's no, you know, it was really pretty simple. Amen. It's simple. And where the church, you know, we and not only that, miracles, signs and wonders, devils being cast out. I mean, everywhere they went, just unity and the fire of God falling. I mean, 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved. I mean, and continually, and it just keeps going and going. But they didn't, you know, they just kept getting filled and they just kept going out. And they kept getting filled and they kept going out. And they kept getting filled and they kept going out. And they kept getting filled and they kept, and it was, and that's what they did. That's all they did. All they did was get in the presence of God and then let the presence of God flow through them. That's all they did. That's all. Let me just say that real clearly. That's all they did. When you really look at the New Testament, when you really look at what God did with those men, that's all they did. But it's like, it seems like the modern church, we come up with everything that we can think of to do besides the things that they did. It's amazing to me. I mean, we've been some places and you see the things that are going on in the church and you think, and it's really, I call them the charismatic toys. I mean, all of these toys, all of these things that the church occupies themselves with that doesn't accomplish anything. Trinkets. And they come up with new things all the time. It seems like, you know, you get around some people and it's like there's always a new revelation or some new thing, you know. It's like a kid with this new present and they're like, hey, look at this thing, you know. And, you know, after a while, sometimes I'm like, you know what, I love you, but I don't want to look at it. I don't really care. I'm sorry, I'm not interested in your revelation. Hello? Hello? Because, you know, you get tired of it. You get, here we go again. You know, let's talk about, so distracted by politics and so distracted by everything in the world. All the, you know, the church is so focused on all of these other things. But Jesus and the early church, there was one, it was single-minded focusness. Now, there were all different areas of, and all people doing all kinds of different things, but everything was focused around the same purpose. When the church loses its purpose, when the church loses the sense of their mission, they become a museum. You might as well just, you know, start selling tickets. And also what happens then is you get all the disgruntledness that creeps in. People upset about the carpet. People upset about, you know, the usher who didn't greet them properly. Come on. Or I have this idea that I think the church should do and nobody will listen to me. Nobody seems to think it's a good idea. And so many times, man, the church, you know, that we've seen in so many cities, they've just gotten so busy doing everything but the mission. Everything but the mission. And they say, well, you know, we're going to be relevant. We're relevant to, you know, the city. We're relevant to this and we're relevant to that. But usually they're just living in sin. And they call it being relevant. Well, we're relevant to... No, you're just a sinner. Come on. There's no power. There's no... It's just, you know, all these groups or different things that are going on. But all the groups, everything should be focused on the mission. Not focused on, you know... And two, you know, I want to make a comparison in this way. You know, you think about Peter, you think about Paul, and you think about as they went out on their mission. And can you imagine even? Well, let me just go. I'm going to share a couple scriptures here. Hallelujah. Go with me to Mark, chapter 16. I just want to, thank Pastor Bob, too, for the opportunity to be here tonight. And we really do. We really consider it an honor and a privilege. Mark 16, 15. People say, oh, we know these scriptures. Yeah, that's my point. Mark 16, 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to what creatures? Every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall by no means harm them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You know, when we read this scripture, I really like to... How many of y'all have ever, you try to really see Jesus given this? Come on. And you know, this is the resurrected, this is Jesus resurrected, ready to ascend, his last mission to the troops. Amen? It's not a, and go ye. But I believe it was even as a general speaking to his army. Come on. Come on, speaking to him. Go! Somebody point at your neighbor. Say, go ye.
Go ye.
Go ye means go you. Come on. And he spoke to him and he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Boldly. And with fight. Now think about it too. I mean, this is, we really have to, you know, think about Jesus giving this message. Think about how, you know, the same Jesus who said, you know, I have meat to eat that you know not of. You don't understand. You don't get it. You don't understand. You know, they're like, hey, you know, Jesus, you hungry? No, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He was consumed with this vision, with this passion. Everything was, and it was all towards, people say, well, it's about us being able to be saved. But it's about us being able to go into breakthrough and freedom and victory and for us to be able to now bring that to a lost and dying world. So the passion of Jesus to say this to us, to say, go ye into all the world. Can you see him with the fire in his eyes? Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. These signs shall follow you. There are signs following every one of y'all. Believers, how many of y'all are believers in here? Come on. There are signs following every one of us. And God is just waiting for you to go ahead and release that. Amen? They're following you everywhere you go. All you have to do is just begin to do it. He said, go into all the world, these signs shall follow. They're with you. God is wanting to manifest himself in you, to you, and through you. Hallelujah. And then you see too, of course you have Peter, you know. Peter's the guy, of course, chosen, you know, he's going to give the Pentecostal message on the day of Pentecost, you know. Pastor Rodney says it this way, you know. Peter, you know, I would have chose Thomas, but, you know. So, but Peter is the one that God says, this is who I'm going to use. Denies Jesus, you know, tries to cut off a dude's ear. I mean, does cut off a dude's ear, cursing at him. I mean, you know, but this is the guy that he chooses to use. You may say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been, Brock. You know, none of that matters. All that matters is if you will answer the call and do what God's called you to do. He's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for, he's just looking for you. He's just looking for a yielded vessel. Amen. And that was Peter. But he had to get the fire. He had to get the fire. He needed the fire. Yeah. Before that, he was a mess. Some people are trying to do what God's called them to do without the fire. It's torture. I mean, it doesn't get much more difficult. You need the fire of God. You need a Pentecostal experience. Like what Peter had. And let's just go there. Acts chapter 2. So I thought this was going to be a deep message. It's deep. It's right to the point. You know, we need to stay with the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the power of God, the simplicity of the message. The message doesn't change for the crowd. The message doesn't change for any reason. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's fresh and it's new and it's exciting every single time. Hallelujah. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire that set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Hallelujah. In verse, go down to verse 12 here, and it says, and they were all amazed, and they were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. And you know, Peter here, he's just had his encounter with God, man. Everything's changed, and he hears them talking, mocking, you know, and something rises up on the inside of him, and you know, I believe it took all 11 for him to get up. You know, they helped each other up, you know. How many of y'all, come on. So they had to help Peter up. And Peter said, standing up with the 11, he lifted up his voice and he said unto them, you men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In verse 21 it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. And he gave this message not as just man, but it was the power of God on him, and the boldness and the transforming power of God, now not speaking by the Spirit of God, totally transformed by the power of God. Hallelujah. One touch. The fire of God fell on Peter and everything changed from that day forward. He went from city to city, village to village. And it never changed. The power of God that fell on Peter began to fall where he went. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But no, the church, we got a new way to do things. It's a new idea. I got this new church planning idea I'm going to do. It's great. I mean, this whole strategy of, you know. I've talked to so many pastors, and look, that's fine. You can fill a building. Awesome. That's great. You know, but then you talk to the pastors and you find out they're miserable because the people don't want to win souls. You know, they're disgruntled because, you know. It's all, you know, it's not about programs. Amen. It's about the power of God. It's about the manifestation of the power of God. It's about seeing lives touched and changed. Yeah. That's the purpose. Yeah. That's our purpose. We don't have any other purpose. Our mission doesn't deviate. It doesn't change with, you know, the times. The fire of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you get on fire, God can use you to shake cities. He can use you to shake villages. But you can't really do what God's called you to do and have toys. And have, you know, disgruntled feelings about the way somebody treated you or looked at you or whatever. I don't know. But I'll tell you, when the church loses its purpose, every bit of, I mean, strife creeps in, dissension, just But when you're on fire, when you're running after souls, when your mission is what God's called you to do, you're not gonna, you know, there's no time to I don't have time for that. I'm going on to do what God's called me to do. I don't have time for that. You know, when you have time to sit around and argue and debate about, you know, the colors of this or, you know, or the pencils for this event and whatever, then guess what? You're off target. You're off focus.
Right.
We need to get on mission.
Right.
Hallelujah. Whatever we got to do for the sake of the harvest. For the harvest. For the harvest. Souls. Every group. We're planning and strategizing for the harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. From the littlest child to the oldest saint. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Chu, come on up here. Right here. You, Chu. Yeah, to Chu looking at me. Come on. Join hands. Lift your hands to heaven. Now, the fire of the Holy Ghost from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Fire! Now. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Some people are just looking for a reason to get upset.
Wow.
Just don't even talk to them, man. Everybody will stop talking to them and they'll just leave. Come on. No, that's all right. It's okay. Come on. Strife and, you know, if God's called you to a place, you lock in with the vision of where God's called you to be. And then, you know, really it's not, you know, I have this great idea. No, it's, there is an idea. God's already given a plan and a vision and a purpose. You just lock in with that plan and vision and purpose.
Uh-huh.
Amen? Amen? Some people, you know, they just think, you know, I've got this thing from God, you know? And sometimes you just, you know, really learning how to follow the Holy Ghost and learning and becoming, you know, really growing up spiritually is to say, you know what? I don't know everything. And to say, you know, I'm just going to submit and I'm just going to be humble and I'm just going to be teachable and I'm just going to do what I'm asked to do. Hello. Some people can't obey the word of God. They can't even obey man. How are you going to obey the word of God? How are you going to obey when the Spirit of God tells you to do something? You can't even listen to somebody that says, hey, are you okay? You have a bad attitude today. And I don't have a bad attitude. You know? I was just going to pray with you. Sorry, hey. Come on. And you know, Pastor Rodney always said, you know, look, two-thirds of preaching is reproving and rebuking. People just want exhortation. Just tickle our ears, brother. Tell us how good it is, you know. But, I'll tell you, I mean, I want to be challenged, man. That's why I love my pastor. I mean, every time I get around my pastor, it's like, oh my gosh. I mean, you just get challenged. There's a challenge put forth. And when Jesus, when he spoke to the disciples, it was a challenge. He said, go! Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Not, you know, if it's okay with you, I'd really like you to do this. But that's the way the church takes it. That's, you know, in America, we have this way of thinking, I'm independent, I can do what I want, you know. That's why it's called serving God. Serving God. He said go, we say yes. He says lay hands on the sick, we say yes. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. distractions, everything around us. People get distracted, looking at this, looking at that. Oh, get in fear, well, you know. Or you know, spend so much time dissecting some crazy prophecy about, you know, something they saw on TV, I don't know, you know. Just lost in all kinds of nonsense, man. Just turn that thing off. Hallelujah. When you're on fire, when you're teachable, when you're humble and you can be used and you can be submitted to leadership, then God can use you. God cannot use somebody who is bullheaded, who already knows everything. You're not going to do nothing for God. I'm just telling you right now, if you don't turn around, you're going to find yourself turning around. I mean, look, I was bullheaded. I'm telling you, I mean, I was as bullheaded as the day is long. My mom's here tonight. She can testify to that. But, you know, when God gets a hold of you and when you really make the decision that you're not going to compromise what God's called you to do, that's when things start turning. And that's when, you know, you battle through those things. You battle through, yeah, you know, I think, you know, battle in the head and all that. But man, you make the decision, I'm going to submit. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm not going to do my own thing. This isn't Do My Own Thing Ministries International. I mean, you know, even, you know, getting to travel with Pastor Rodney and you know, a lot of the places and the things that God's had us do, I never would have thought. But, you know, this is the thing. It all starts with the simple things. It has nothing to do with the big things. It has absolutely nothing to do with the big things. It has to do with your heart. It has to do with your heart. There are a lot of people around. They might be talented. They might have ability. They might have all of these different things. But a lot of people, they rely on those things. And those things will take you out. I'm telling you right now, they'll take you out. If you think that your ability is more important than the anointing and the power of God, you can do it all by yourself. What do you need God for? And that's it's so important in a church body. You know, we have the unity, you know, talking about unity, being in one accord. It's so vitally important. If there is not unity, if there is not a spirit of unity in the place, then you can't fulfill the mission. Everybody has to be on the same mission, speaking the same thing, going after the harvest. Laying aside our feelings about anything else. It's not about how you feel about it. Somebody says, well, I don't want to do that. Who asked you? Did Jesus say, like I said, did he say, do you feel like doing this? If you feel like it, I would love for you to do it. But that's why he sent the Holy Ghost and fire. You get the fire of God on you and you'll do it. Hallelujah. You don't have to be asked. It just kind of happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here, my friend. Right here. Are you all together? Come here. You, in the glass. The glass, two glasses. There's glasses everywhere. I'm sorry. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Join hands. The fire of the Holy Ghost right now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Now. That's it. Jesus. These two are here. Jesus. Lift your hands. Join hands. Fire. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Fire! That's it. You know, even following the Holy Ghost, following the Holy Ghost, it all starts by being an usher. Anything about following the Holy Ghost, you learn by serving. You see the power of God fall on people. Everything happens. People over-spiritualize things. God just wants to touch people. God's just looking for an opportunity to move. But, you know, I remember, you know, ushering for years, and you learn how to flow with the Holy Spirit. You see what God's doing in a service. As an usher, when you're ushering, you're it's not just passing a bucket. You're not just here to, you know, make sure people don't sit up front. That's not what you're here to do. You're here to tap into the Holy Spirit. Hello. Every ministry of helps, I don't care what you do in the church, you are anointed to do it. And if you're not doing it by the anointing, you're going to become disgruntled. You have to tap into the Holy Spirit. And there is an anointing, and we talk about the ministry of helps. Anything that helps is the ministry of helps. Otherwise, you are officially in the ministry of hindrances. But it's so important to follow the Holy Spirit when you're ushering, when you're greeting, when you're, you know, because listen, God will give you a word. God may not only a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge for someone. He might speak to you, whatever. But it might even be, you know, you see somebody come in and the Lord tells you, you know, watch that person. I mean, you know, God will use you if you will tap into the Holy Spirit. But if you're just going to sit here and think, oh, it's another church service, praise God, then that's what you're going to get. But when you come to church, we're not just coming for a church service. We're coming to serve the Lord. Yes. Amen? I'm here to serve the Lord. And everything we do by the Holy Ghost. And when people are not functioning in that, there's a breakdown. It's not, the oil's not in the machine. Thank you, Jesus. Just have a drink tonight. Go ahead. Hallelujah. See, drunk people will do stuff that nobody sober will do. And you got to get drunk because you will not be able to accomplish what needs to happen here at Calvary sober. Because, you know, when you look at it sober people look at things with reason. Sober people are, you know, up here trying to figure the thing out. But drunk people are just like, yeah, let's do it. Yay! and you can't talk them out of it. You know, like, well, I guess we'll do it. you ever try to talk reason to a drunk person? It just doesn't work. I learned real quick being around my pastor. It's not just, you know, it's fun to get touched, but you better get drunk because you'll go crazy if you don't get. You'll think I've lost my mind. Oh, come here, you two. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. That's it. Fire. Now. Fire. Come here, bro. Whew. Y'all in the back in the reserve section, y'all can have some too. Is that a special section? Do you guys have a special group back there? Oh, really? Cool. All right. That's awesome. You guys really are in a special group. That's awesome. It's good to have y'all tonight. Hallelujah. I was in a church one time in Atlanta. We were in Atlanta, Ball Ground, Georgia. It wasn't actually Atlanta. It was just outside of Atlanta. And Ball Ground, I had like 700 people in the city of Ball Ground. But the church had about 600 people on, Sunday morning. And, when you go into a church and you have no idea really what, I always liked it when we went to churches and I didn't know anything about the church, didn't know anything about the pastor. Because then you can't, first of all, you're not, the pastor doesn't tell you, oh, hey, this is what's going on, and then you're like, oh my gosh, and then you, So, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know nothing, But you get there and you're just able to follow the Holy Ghost, And then you can't be blamed for saying anything either, right? I didn't know nothing. But I remember we were in Ball Ground, Georgia, and I was opening, Pastor Rodney was coming to do the, Great Awakening, and I was doing that service, before he came, and he was coming like a week or two later. And so I got up and I began to start sharing, and I started talking about, the like 10-step programs. And I probably talked about 10-step programs for 30 minutes and just talking about all of this stuff about 10-step programs. And, God has a 1-step program and God will set you free right now in the name of Jesus. And we, just started sharing along those lines, did an altar call, power of God fell. And, I was awesome service. And, I was thinking, man, praise God, But then as I'm leaving, the senior pastor wasn't there. The associate pastor was there, and he kind of, seemed a little uneasy after the service. And I thought, okay, he's just kind of like, yeah, great service. And I'm like, okay, well, and I left. And as I'm leaving, I'm driving off, and I see this huge banner. And it says, 10-step program, all this stuff about, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. So, it was like what their whole ministry, a lot of it was based on all of that. And I'm like, wow. So, so God has a way of dealing with things. If he can get us out of the way. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all come here. Here. Come on up. Mm-hmm. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. Joyce, can you join hands?
Yes.
That's it, right now. Now. Harvest anointing. That's it. That's it. Harvest anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Get her. Bring her here. More? More? Fire! Now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. She'll be okay. The Lord's just touching her. It's all good. It's good. Hallelujah. It's good, right? It's all good. Thank you, Jesus. Fire. Now. That's it. Now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come here, dude. Can I pray for you? Come on up. It's all right. Yeah, come on up. You know, you'd have to be in the parking lot. I mean, I'm going to find y'all. Come on. Just lift your hands. Close your eyes, dude. That's it. Lift your hands. Close your eyes. That's it. Now. Fire. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Jesus.
What's up, dude?
How's it going?
Good, man. How you doing? Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I have some notes here.
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. You know, it's about growing up spiritually. It's about growing up. Some people are old and they've never grown up. Some people are young and they're, you know, not willing to grow up. But growing up spiritually really is death to self. And it's good and it's fun and it's enjoyable at first. But it's okay because there's anesthetic to help you change. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to grow up spiritually. We got to grow up. We got to do the hard things. We gotta lay our pride down. We gotta lay down our own opinions about how things should, what we think and how we see it. And that's when everyone comes in and we're all locked in on that mission and that purpose. That's when things are gonna break. That's when you're gonna see a move of God. It's all about the harvest. It's all about souls. Hallelujah. You know, I think about the church, you know, really it's almost like a, you know, like we talk about going on search and rescue. You know, we're going out, we're soul winning, but even almost like a firehouse, like a bunch of firefighters going out. And you know, when the alarm sounds, there's an urgency. We got to move. We got to get in there. We got to get this done, man. We got to, you know, it's not. But when you lose your sense of urgency, I want to tell you, listen, you are lukewarm and you are cold. I'm telling you right now, if there's not an urgency in your spirit for the things of God, there's not an urgency in your spirit for the lost, your wood is wet. But you can get it replaced. But you got to acknowledge it. You got to come to a place where you say, you know what? I've been doing all kinds of other things. There are things that I've been doing, they're not fruitful. And I'm not even just talking about, you know, just not even just things in the church, but just in general. You know, what are you doing with your life? What are you doing today, tomorrow, ongoing, that's going to count for eternity? So many people, you know, they're planning their, you know, their life savings and they're, you know, getting their all their things together. But what are you? But are you laying up anything for eternity? What are you laying up for eternity? The things here are going to pass away. But the only thing that we can take us with us is souls. That's it. Nothing else. And that's why, man, when the fire of God comes on you, and that's why it's really, you know, and I know Pastor Rodney's felt this, when you go to places and you've seen revival and you've seen God do so many things, but then you don't... Without the soul winning, it's not full-on revival. It's God touched people, but there's got to be that change that now, I mean, now it's we're locked into that mission. We're going after souls, the harvest. Everything else falls by the wayside. Let it all be burned up. Lord, come with your fire. Consume anything and everything that's not of you. I don't want nothing left of me when it's all said and done. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear, "Medium rare." Well done. Well done. Hallelujah. Break our hearts for the lost. That we see people the way Jesus saw them. That we see people that after that encounter with God, the way Peter saw them. I mean, just transform us from the inside. Listen, even this week, I'm telling you, there are people right now, even now, at this very moment, I mean, people that are entering into a lost eternity. Come on. Every moment. Every second. And if that urgency is not burning on the inside of you, come on, you got to get that back. You got to get that back. You got to get that back. You got to do whatever you got to do to get it back. You can't fake it. You can't act like you got it. You either got it or you don't. You're either hot or you're cold. Amen. But even now, those that are crossing over, even in the next couple of days, I'm telling you right now, even those that are praying and saying, "Lord, send somebody." I can't think of how many multiple times over and over again it's happened to me personally and happened to people that on our team where literally, I mean, you show up at the door and they say, "I just prayed. I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, send somebody. Lord, help." Or somebody says, "I was going to commit suicide. You don't have any idea." And God wants to use you to be an answer to that prayer. Hallelujah. It's not just, "Oh, hey, it's this new thing we're doing. We're winning souls. Praise God. And we're going to fill buses and bring people." It's not about that. That's not the purpose. It's not just about filling the church. It's about that one person that's about to kill themselves or that's about to, you know, that you have no idea what kind of marriage situation, whatever they might be going through, but to say, "Lord, you can use me. I'm going to show up. And Lord, God, you can flow through me. You can touch a lost and dying world through me." We got to become consumed with the heart of Jesus to say, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Come on. And you say, "Well, I don't know. How do I get there?" It comes when you just step out, when you begin to say, "Lord, I'm going to go. I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out." And you begin to go. And as soon as you do, it's like, wow. It's like a well just opens up. How many of you have experienced that? Man, you know, you go out soul winning and God starts touching people through you and just that excitement and the, come on. But you know, sometimes you might not feel like it. Sometimes it's not going to be that fun. And that doesn't matter either. You do it regardless. It's not like, "Oh, well, you know, if God moves on me, when we hear about people, I'm follow the Holy Ghost. I'm led by the Holy Ghost, where I'm going to go and all that." It's amazing because most people I've ever met that say they follow the Holy Ghost in soul winning, they usually don't soul win. It's their excuse for not witnessing. Yeah. Say, "Oh, I follow the Holy Ghost." You don't do nothing. You don't tell nobody about Jesus. You just throw that out there so that, you know, Oh, just follow the Holy Ghost. Hey. No, but when the fire of God gets on you, somebody who follows the Holy Ghost is somebody that will go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Holy Ghost is going to have you witness to everybody. He's going to so fill you up that you just, you have to tell everybody. It's not like, oh, you know, Lord, do you want me to witness that person?
No, don't witness to them. They're ugly and their mother dresses them funny.
I mean, come on. And you know, I find this, you know, when your flesh will tell you, you know, no, that person looks mean, don't witness to them. And I'll find usually when I'm trying to do that, and I, you know, I'm trying to pick somebody nice, I usually end up with mean people. But when you just walk up to people and just boldly, you know, I remember I made this decision, you know, years ago, man, we were doing an outreach in West Palm Beach, and I just made this decision, you know, I'm you know, when we step foot out of the van, you know, this is Bible school, second year Bible school. I said, when I step foot out of the van, or was it first year? It's one of the two. Step foot out of the van. I'm just going to preach the gospel to every single person I see. Just going to do it. I don't care. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they say. And I did that, man. Just, you know, broke that fear. You got to break that fear and intimidation off of your life. You have to say, no, I don't care what people think. I don't care what they say. I'm going to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Our job is not to, you know, just talk to people's heads and try to convince them of, you know, Christianity, but it's to preach the gospel with the power and the love of God. And men are drawn. And boldness draws people. When you're bold, when you walk up to somebody, sometimes that person that you think is so mean and so scary, everybody else does too. But when you walk up and you share the gospel and they start weeping, man, and God touches them, you'd be surprised that the people that you think aren't going to receive are the ones that God is tugging on and working on their hearts at that very moment. Just got to get out of your head. And I want to challenge you too. Listen, this isn't just about going out on an outreach. It's not just about, you know, we're doing outreaches, you know, throughout the week and, you know, the outreach team, yeah, they're doing it and they're bringing people in. No, this is about you. It's about you being a witness. God wants to use you wherever you're at, in your workplace, at the grocery store, you know. But you need to come out on an outreach, because you come out, man, you'll get the fire of God on you, and then now it's like, man, everywhere you go, you're wanting to, you know, witness to everybody you see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's how they shook their whole region. That's how whole cities were shaken. It's because everybody was on fire. We're just waiting for God to move. No, just go and He'll move. Hallelujah. You go, He moves. You stay, He doesn't. Yeah. Because He has to get the signs and wonders through you. You are His vessel. Hallelujah. Everybody say souls.
Souls.
Everybody say the harvest.
Harvest.
Hallelujah. It's ripe. It's ready. Now you don't have to wait 4 months. It's ready. It's ready. He said, ask of me and I will give you the heathen for thine inheritance. Yeah. Hallelujah. I pray God raises up a whole army here. And I know God's already doing so much, and I wanted to share that too. I meant to share that earlier. But, you know, even just since we got started here, you know, of course, I mean, Pastor Rodney here Wednesday night, what, 2 weeks ago? And then Thursday we started soul winning. Was it 2 weeks?
Oh, it was.
gosh.
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago, yeah. But since then, listen, we've had, with 162 laborers, we've had 1,523 decisions for Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? And of course, you know, Stitches, working with Stitches and the soul winning, and that's what's so awesome too, is a lot of churches, even doing the bus ministry and the different things, you know, you have to have not only the soul winning, but the outreaches. And so, you know, of course, Stitches has been sowing into the neighborhoods here, and, you know, for so many years, 18 years.
Right.
And so, you know, people are right. People are hungry, and we just have to go get them. Amen. Amen? It's really that simple. You know, and even the buses, you know, first Sunday here, it was we had 120 that came, and then, 132 that came on the bus the next week in the rain, too. So I really believe, man, God's going to give us a great harvest this week. But the harvest is in direct proportion to the laborers. And I want to encourage y'all, you know, and I want to say this again about being stirred up. I'm here to stir y'all up tonight. I'm here to light a fire. But listen, you have to stir yourselves up. You have to, when you don't feel like soul winning, when you feel like I don't want to go tonight, that's when you need to do it. Amen. You need to stir yourself up. You need to make the decision. Listen, we're in this battle. We're the army. You know, if you have to, you go, you read, you know, read Mark 16:50, say, the Lord told me, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Hallelujah. I'm going to go. I'm going to preach the gospel. Come on. You might not feel like it. Your flesh might not like it. But I tell you, when you begin to do it, everything begins to change. The new life comes back. You can take them off the machine. Hallelujah. And just everyone, just bow your heads, just close your eyes tonight. You may have come tonight and maybe you're here and you don't know for sure if this were your last day on earth, if you were to die tonight, if you were to leave this building, you don't know for sure that you'd make heaven your home. Maybe you're here tonight, the devil's been lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. Today, you can get it right. You can know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt. But maybe you're here tonight and you realize that you've grown cold in your walk with God. You're not serving God the way you once did. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've gotten yourself distracted. You've gotten yourself off of the target of the plan and purpose of God for your life. And you know you need to come back to your first love. You need to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Tonight is your night of breakthrough. Tonight's your night. You can leave today on fire, with all those things laid aside. If that's you, if you fit into any one of those three categories right now, just lift your hand to heaven. Right now. All right. Well, we're in the Holy Assembly of the Saints tonight. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, y'all can look at me now. Okay. Now listen, we have this week, we have tomorrow, Thursday, Friday at 2 o'clock, and Saturday at 10 a.m., for soul winning, also outreach with Stitches. I want to encourage y'all, please get involved. If you're not already involved, get involved. If you're already involved, get more involved. Do more. And, you know, when we started soul winning, my wife and I, you know, when we moved to Tampa, we went to Bible school. We were working there at the ministry. And the Lord, we were pregnant. My wife, was pregnant with our first baby, and I remember I was working, full time, and I would listen to some of this one message Pastor Rodney had. It was on the seven churches, and I would just listen to it over and over again, man. And God just broke my heart for the lost. I mean, just totally broke my heart for the lost listening to that series. And I remember, and the Lord spoke to me to begin to soul win full time. And I just started volunteering. I started showing up at the church, soul winning. I mean, just in the morning, we go out. And then that year, too, Pastor Rodney prophesied. He said, this year we'll see over 100,000 souls saved here in Tampa, Florida. And I remember in the natural, you think, oh, my, your mind goes, okay, how are we going to do that? But we began to just lock in faith, and we began to just move and began to do and just believe God. And God opened up all kinds of crazy opportunities to preach the gospel in all kinds of different arenas and things. And that's the thing, too. We're just getting the surface scratched here on soul winning. It's not just about the buses. It's about everything. It's about, all the different football teams and games that are going on and baseball and anywhere there's people, outreach going on all throughout the city, going neighbor, door to door through right around here, around the church. Anytime you can find a group, if there's a group, you find a mic. Amen. I mean, that's what we did in Tampa. I mean, that was the goal. You're like, laser looking around trying to find a group with a mic. Come on. Where can we find a group where they'll let us pray? Hallelujah. All right, can I just take a few minutes and we'll just get up and share the gospel wherever, it might be a Golden Corral. I mean, it might be a, wherever you can find a mic, come on. Amen. Open mic nights, or you just take your own mic. Hey. But to see whole cities shaken. And listen, and during that year, we saw it was 108,000 decisions that year, and over 4,000 first-time visitors that came to the church. But it was a lot of work. And, the Lord blessed us and took care of us. And, the scripture, the Lord, really for our ministry, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all, everybody say all, these things. So we're not focused on the things, we're seeking the kingdom. Right. Put God's kingdom first, He'll take care of the things.
Right.
And you just keep on putting the kingdom first. And when you have a need, you put the kingdom first. And when you don't know what to do, you put the kingdom first. And when you're looking for direction, you put the kingdom first. You win souls. You win souls. You win souls. You keep winning souls. And God keeps providing. God keeps making a way of breakthrough. And God keeps blessing you, and God keeps leading you, and God, listen, God will take care of a soul winner. You are a soul winner, I'm telling you right now, the Lord will take care of you, and He is going to open up doors of opportunity for you. I know a lot of anointed preachers, went to Bible school, people, that never do anything in the ministry because they weren't soul winners. And they look for a pulpit ministry, but they never allowed themselves to really become who God wanted them to be because they wouldn't just win souls. The ministry is about people. You can preach, but you don't like people. I mean, you're in the wrong business. So, Lord, I pray right now for laborers, Father. Lord, send us laborers. Lord, I thank you that you bring laborers here, Father, that will see this whole region shaken. And Lord, I thank you for putting your fire on them. Speak to their hearts right now, Lord. I pray you kindle them and you prepare them for the work that you have for them, Father, that you use them mightily to shake this whole region. Right now, if you could come out with us, any of those days, listen, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 2 o'clock Thursday, 2 o'clock Friday, 10 a.m. Saturday. Also, I specifically want to pray for those, but also if you can get involved in the bus ministry, if you can help out with stitches, I want to pray for you. I want to lay hands on everybody tonight, okay? But listen, It's about all of us doing what God's called us to do. It's about all of us catching the fire. Every ministry, every group, every person, like I was talking about earlier, the ushers, we all flow together. It's all one body. We are all following the Holy Ghost. We're all one united force. Hallelujah. But if you can come out those 3 days, just come on up right now. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, just line up. Hallelujah. 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 Ushers, y'all can bring those down this way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then too, we have some packets we want to get you guys. I mean, you know, I want ushers, if y'all can hand those out too to those in the audience, hand them out to those up front here. And a lot of y'all are familiar with the gospel soul winning script. If you're not, you know, we're going to do that training class. We'll train y'all. We'll take you out. Anyone else? Come on. The next week, you know, just come any days you can. I know some people say, I've already got plans this week. Come when you can, man. Make a decision. Make a commitment to come. You know, make it a regular commitment. It can't just be because, man, if the labor force, it's just like any other thing, man. If the labor force isn't there, there's no, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen osmosis. You know, today we had 4 soul winners go out. Praise God for the 4 that went out. But we need 3. Thank you. 3. We need an army. It takes an army. If you have time during the day, if you're not working, man, come and just sow into, I mean, hello. I mean, it doesn't get any better. I mean, you're storing up treasures in heaven. Come on. I mean, you know, it's amazing to me that you got to beg people to win souls. Well, I don't really need to store up any treasures. Praise God. I'm pretty good to go. Storing up treasures in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen, I want to encourage y'all, and I'm giving you this stuff right now because I want to say this too, is this is not... I don't want this just to, this isn't just about doing an outreach. I want y'all to take this and throughout the week, you're winning souls. You're winning souls wherever you're going. I mean, you know, say tomorrow morning, if you can't go out, how many of y'all that are not, that you can't go out this week, but you can tell somebody about Jesus this week? You can be a witness wherever you're at. All right. Take one of those packets wherever you're at. You go and you share the gospel. You share the gospel and you invite people to come. And I want to encourage you too, listen, get their names, their phone numbers. If you pray with them, get their information. And you can turn that information in here to the office. Turn it in to Suzanne here at the office. And we'll call them, we'll follow up with them, we'll get them plugged in. This isn't just about the bus ministry. We've had a lot of people, we've been talking about the bus ministry, but we've had a lot of people that have been coming in from the soul winning too that aren't riding the buses. Amen? So I have this tool, and I know some of y'all who have been out with us before, you know this, but I want to share this with you again tonight. This is Operation Andrew, okay? And I want to encourage you guys, listen, to keep this in your Bibles, okay? Put it in your Bible, pray over it. You know, you might even just go ahead and put some names in your iPhone, you know, keep them on your phone or whatever, and keep... But I want to ask y'all, listen, just like Andrew, when he realized... Man, this is Jesus. I found the Messiah. As soon as he realized he found the Messiah, the very first thing he did, he went and he found his brother. Amen. He went and found Peter. And so I want to encourage y'all, listen, it might be your friends, it might be your neighbor, it might be, you know, a coworker, you know, somebody that you've really been believing God for, but you just haven't stepped out and talked to him. I want to encourage you, man. Step out this week. Bring them to church this Sunday. If you have to, bribe them. Yeah, it's okay. Just bribe them. Say, hey, man, I'll take you out to dinner. I'll give you, you know, whatever you got to do. Bribe them. I'll watch your kids for you. You know, I'll let y'all, you know, whatever. So I want y'all to pray and specifically ask the Lord for 7 people. And you know, I want y'all really ask the Lord for 1 person this Sunday. believe God. How many of y'all can believe God for one person that you can bring Sunday? It might even be somebody you lead to the Lord and you bring them to church. But then to write down seven names of people specifically, it might even be family, but specifically people that you are believing God for their salvation. I want to agree with you tonight too, for their salvations. It might even be close family. I want to believe God with you. Our families are coming in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then, of course, you have the gospel soul-winning script. I'm not going to go over all this right now, but... Hallelujah. Just lift your hands. Just close your eyes tonight. Father, I thank you for this army, Lord. I thank you for the army that you're raising up here at Calvary Cathedral, Father. We thank you, Lord, that this whole region is going to be shaken by the fire of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, I pray for a harvest anointing to come upon each and every person, Father. I come against fear. I come against timidity. I break it right now in the name of Jesus. Just say this with me right now. Say fear, timidity, go. Lord, put a boldness on me. Thank you, Jesus, that I preach the word with boldness, that signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm telling you right now, I see this place. The Lord, you know, as we go, man, people say, how do you, well, you know, listen, I believe God can pack this house. Amen. But it's about us. It's about every one of us taking up that call. Amen. Just lift your hands. Just close your eyes tonight. Fire. Now. Fire. Fire. That's it. Fire. Fire. Now. Now. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Now. 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 That's it. Fire. Fire. Fire.
Thank you, Lord.
Just receive it. Now. Fire. 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 That's it. Now.
My hands, Lord, and my feet.
Just got your head.
Touch my
heart. That's it.
Lord, speak through me.
Out of your belly. Out of your belly.
Now. Lord, you can use me.
Now. Now.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
That's it.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Now. Fire. Drunk.
Touch my
fire.
Hands, Lord.
Fire.
And my feet.
Fire.
Touch my mouth, Lord.
Fire.
Speak through me.
Fire.
If
now.
You can use anything,
fire.
Lord, you can use me.
Now. Drunk. Now.
You can use
fire.
Anything, Lord.
The
you
fire
can
of the Holy
use
Ghost.
Me.
Heart. Heart. Now. Now.
You can use anything,
fire.
Lord. You can use
now.
Me.
A harvest anointing. That's it. Just receive
touch
that.
My hands, Lord,
No. You don't have to say it. Just receive it. That's it.
My mouth, Lord, speak through me.
Fire.
If you
that's
can
it.
Use
yeah, that's it.
Anything,
that's the fire of God right now. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Now. Fire.
Can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Fire!
If you can
bring
use
back.
Anything, Lord, you
yeah,
can
okay.
use
fire.
Me.
Fire! Fire! Fire!
Touch my hands,
now.
Lord, and my feet. Touch my
fire.
Mouth, Lord, speak me.
The fire of the Holy
Ghost.
Now.
You can use
that's it.
Anything,
now.
Lord, you can use
Jesus.
Me.
Anyone else, if you want prayer, just come on up. Come on up. If you need a healing in your body, come on. I want to pray with you and for you. Drink. Drunk.
Drunk. Drunk. The fire of the Holy Ghost now. That's it. That's it. Fire! That's it. Now. Harp! Harp!
You can use anything, Lord. You can use
That's
me.
That's it. Jesus.
If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my mouth,
take authority
Lord,
over this attack in your body right now.
If you
break it right now. Go!
Anything, Lord,
the fire of the Holy Ghost now. That's it. Goes right now. Go!
You can use anything, Lord.
That's it.
You can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Jesus.
Touch my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my mouth, Lord, speak through me. Can use anything,
harp.
Lord, you can use me.
Fire! Jesus. Jesus. Go ahead and have a drink. Drink. Drink.
If you can use anything,
Jesus.
Lord, you can use me.
The fire of the Holy Ghost. Now, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. That's it. That's it. Now. That's it. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Now. Hallelujah. 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 The whole army. Come on. Army. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Spirit
Hallelujah.
Fall.
Fire the Holy Ghost. Now.
I need your anointing in my life. So fall.
Drink.
Spirit fall. Rain.
More.
Rain.
More.
Jesus.